It's Monday the 25th of June, and it's Merriam-Webber with Philip Champness. Let's ask you first, Philip, what is your role here at Community House?
I'm a trustee. I was chair for a while, but I'm a trustee.
What does trustee involve?
Trustee involves providing oversight and governance, and also strategic direction. One of the major changes that has taken place since I first arrived is that trustees have gone from believing that they need to do everything, and if they don't do everything, they control everything, to actually allowing a manager and volunteers to do much more. And I've been a key player in that change from a voluntary organisation which is run entirely by the trustees, who would get involved in quite minor matters like, can this group hire a room or not, to delegating most of the operational activities to a manager who answers those questions, so the trustees can stand back and provide a role which is about governance and about direction.
So when did you first come to Community House?
I was invited by Brian. I knew Brian. I met Brian in 1968. My first job was in a school in Africa, in Theka. And at that time, the school, it was post-independence, and the school was on the brink of Africanizing its posts. But at that time, when I first arrived, every teacher was white and almost entirely British. And Brian was one of the teachers who was there, and he stayed for the first 3 or 4 months that I was there, and I got to know Brian and spoke to him. And I knew he was coming back to Britain not to be a teacher, which he, of course, is what he had been in Africa, but to run some kind of centre. But I didn't know any more than that. When I came back to Cardiff in 1995, I first came to Wales in 1985, and then I came back in 1990. I went away to work in England for a while, and I came back in 1995. Eventually, I moved into Cardiff, and I got in touch with Brian, because sometimes the teachers from the school keep in touch with each other. And I went to see Brian, and I was, at that time, I was in the process of leaving a job where I was chief exec, where I'd been the big boss, to launching a self-employed career. And I wanted to run a self-employed career as a facilitator, as a coach, as a board member. And I went back to university to do a master's in organisation change. And I met Brian, and I thought this could be useful in that I would have the opportunity to facilitate people in the church who were wanting to undergo a change. And this was the change. It was that some key people were leaving. Val and Peter were going to live in Cornwall. And it was becoming clear to the church members who remained that, one, they needed new board members, and two, they needed to transfer the ownership of Community House from the church to a freestanding voluntary organisation that was capable of receiving grant money. And so I saw there was an opportunity for me to assist in this process of transformation. Community House was not that unusual to me in two senses. One, I spent much of my working life in communities like this. I ran an inner area program for Leicester City Council in an area very much like this, except the people were Hindu rather than Muslim. I have been involved in housing, often in areas like this, doing urban regeneration and also building new houses. So Mendy was familiar in terms of the kind of problems and the kind of challenges and the kind of interest that it generated. Secondly, my background is in a branch of Christianity that is even more Calvinistic than the Presbyterians. So I kind of understood and could recognize where people here were coming from in terms of their religious background. And while I no longer share that background, I no longer have that kind of faith, I am sympathetic to it, and I'm sympathetic to what they were trying to do. So I went to a number of meetings where they talked about the change they wanted. I liked them, I was sympathetic to them, and I could see that I might be able to offer a facilitation, a support, and other kind of services that would help them manage this transition.
So the transition enabled Community House to become CHER, Share, Community House Eton Road.
Indeed. And we ran it as Share for a long time before we actually took over the lease. We established it as a charity and as a company, and I did the registration documents. We registered it, and then we ran in parallel with, what was it called? The Community House Committee or something. It was run by Ingrid. So we ran in parallel, and there were lots of frustrations with running in parallel. And I spoke to Yvonne's father-in-law.
Yvonne as in Yvonne?
This Sherman. Yvonne, yeah. Her father-in-law is called Sherlock. His surname is Sherlock. I spoke to him and he said, look, you have to unravel it. So in January 2013, we closed down the committee that had been running it on behalf of the church, and we fully moved to the new structure. So we took over the lease of the building from the Presbyterian Church. There were lots of adventures before we got there. One was that the church wanted to take all of the reserves away. And we said, well, we're not going to take it over as a charity if you do that.
What do you mean by that? The reserves of resources?
Community House had built up some reserves, some financial reserves. And you need reserves in a building like this in case you have a sudden urgent need for a repair, you know. And the church said, well, this is really church money and we ought to take it into the Presbyterian Church. And we said, if you do that, we won't take it over as a charity, because we cannot take it over as a charity with absolutely no financial security. So that argument went on for a while and it was resolved. So in January 2013, we signed the lease and took over the building and took over all of its assets and liabilities, and the church, I'm very pleased, I would say it was generous of them, allowed us to keep all of the reserves.
That's great. I was going to ask you, what difficulties did you face in that process of
becoming? That was one,
and but there must have been others with people.
Well, there were. I think the church, there were two things about the church. One was that they were not terribly open about how much money they had. And a few years later, we had a meeting with the man who runs the Presbyterian Church in Wales. I can't remember his name. And he interrogated church members in front of us. And we discovered they had lots more money than we thought. So there was an absence of openness, which was frustrating. And secondly, and this is still to a certain extent the case, I don't think the church has really, really got its head around being the charity. I think the church still runs itself as a kind of subcommittee. Now, I actually think the church should join the charity, but they see a duality of function. There are church functions and there are charity functions. But it means that we in the charity don't always know what's going on. The tail sometimes wags the dog. One of the things that I learned working in housing and for the regulatory body, the Housing Corporation also did funding, was that if you were a housing association, you had to be truly independent of all other bodies. So even if you were started by a church or by a building society or whatever, however you were started, you had to be completely independent of that organisation. And I believe that's also true of charities. A charity should be an independent, freestanding body, able to make up its mind about what it does. And I am still at times frustrated by the absence of independence. It's not that I think the church isn't supportive, they are, and it's not that I think the church is hostile, because I don't think it is. But it is that the church has ideas and has a perspective which is different from ours, and we don't always have the opportunity to really think through where we are. Ingrid Wilson had been chair of the management committee on behalf of the church. I think Ingrid has fantastic strengths. She is phenomenally good at administrative systems. You know, you give Ingrid a system, she's terrific. And I'm bored by systems, by and large. I'm much more interested in policy, strategy, how the future works out. So Ingrid and I actually complemented. But I was very critical of Ingrid for interfering, which it seems to me is one of the issues about the boundary between church and charity, that people in the church think it's okay to do things without asking the charity. And I was quite critical of Ingrid, and she left. I'm very sorry Yvonne is leaving. I can understand why. You know, she's been with, 6 years, something like that, 7 years, I don't know. She's done a fantastic job. And I'm deeply grateful to her. And for me, the important role was to develop the management role of Yvonne. And I'm very proud of the extent to which we've done that. And was to develop charity, which is not beholden to any other organisation, though we work collaboratively with the church.
So I was going to say, and ask you, what are the strengths of the people and existing components of Community House in going through the process of becoming a charitable trust?
Well, I think the strengths that the church had already established, we've tried to continue. It seems to me that this place is very kind, tolerant, connected, welcoming of members of the local community. It has made the odd enemy, but by and large, Community House has done really well in creating a warm, accepting space which people like to use. And there's no proselytizing. In some respects, it's very helpful to have a chapel right in the middle of the building, and it's very helpful to not allow alcohol or gambling, because Muslims agree with that, you know. And my experience of Muslims being in the building is they quite like the chapel, because it kind of, even though they don't agree with Christianity necessarily, they're not intolerant of Christianity, and they quite like the idea that there's an element of faith in the building. You know, it's not their faith, but it's a recognition that faith is important in life. So my experience of being with Muslims here is the chapel is not an impediment, you know. The fact that it has been a church is not a problem. and people are quite accepting of it. So I think a second thing, you know, this very nice space that people like being in. There were lots of activities. The one I would really pick on here, and there have been many that have come and some have gone, but the one I would pick on would be Coffee and Laughs, which is just one tremendous recognition from the Welsh voluntary sector. You know, I think Marilyn, in a very quiet and undemonstrative way, has done a fabulous job at creating a safe space for local women, most of whom have an alternative worldview and an alternative faith. So I think in that sense, I would say it's a responsive organisation. It responds to what is local. I would say the third strength would be flexibility. I think we've not always with my immediate blessing, but we have gone into projects like the youth project, and I have to say I was wrong about the youth project. I think the youth project has been fantastic, and it's been flexible. We've taken risks, and I was concerned that the risks might spill over and affect other aspects of our work, might disrupt other groups that use the building. By and large, that has not been the case. So my fears have not been realised, and I think it's right that we are out there running youth work, working with local lads and local girls, and providing them with activities and with personal development that will enable them to have a better life. So I think we are flexible. I think we're good at working with the community. So I think those are the strengths. We're generous. We give people food. We have big celebrations. We enjoy the carnival. You know, there are lots of ways in which we contribute to the community in a warm and generous way, which I think is appreciated in Maindy. Yeah. Especially, I think, at a time. One of the major changes in my lifetime, you know, I started work in Britain after I came back from working overseas. I started work in planning and housing and inner city regeneration. And there have been periods in the history of Britain when there's been quite a lot of money to work on poor quality housing, to work with deprived communities, and to try and launch a range of activities and services that will help people get into work, help people run things they want to run, and so on. And I've especially worked in communities where there has been a lot of in-migration. And what has happened in my lifetime has we've gone, even under a Conservative government, from having lots and lots of money for regeneration and for working with ethnic minority groups. You know, Mrs. Thatcher was terrified in 1981 by riots. There were riots in every city, every major city. I'm not sure there are any in Wales, but in England. I was involved in the riots in Leicester, and it's really interesting. There was looting and so on. And Mrs. Thatcher, who had been very hard on the inner city, taken a lot of money away and wanted very hostile policing, suddenly realised she was in trouble. You know, British cities were just burning down. You know, there were riots every night. For weeks there were riots. It's very exciting. And people tried to hijack the riots for all sorts of reasons. But in general, it was young men, it was youth, who were very, very unhappy with being harassed by police, not having facilities, you know.
So you went to speak to these youths and...
Yeah, I did a lot of work with them, helped them start clubs. You know, that was my work in Leicester, was about connecting with these disaffected youth and disaffected older people as well, but they didn't riot, they didn't burn down shops, you know. And I think what's happened over the last 10 years since the Cameron government is that although we've had lots of talk about community and so on, the money has steadily gone. Even in Wales, where the government has tried hard to sustain that with Communities First, you know, Communities First has now gone, there's not much money for urban regeneration.
Wasn't Communities First funded by EU money?
Yes, some of it was EU. And that EU money is going to go because we stupidly voted to leave EU. We in the housing association in Cardiff, we had houses in some very, very deprived communities, and we used EU money to employ a community development worker in Six Bells, which is one of the most down at heel communities in Wales, you know, a former mining community, a lot of unemployment, a lot of single parents trying to bring up children. You know, it's a very deprived community. And we got money from the European Union to do things in that community. Well, all of that's going now. So there's been a steadily diminution. Like, there's no youth service in the local authority, or if there is, it hardly does anything. Whereas this building got lots of money in the 1990s to help the local authority run youth service. So local authority engagement, government engagement in poor areas has steadily declined over my lifetime. I think it's a tragedy, and I think we're going to reap a terrible harvest because of this, but it, you know, it's a fact. So I think places like this are all the more necessary, but it's harder to get hold of money. You know, Ingrid, in the 1990s, Ingrid got, I think, over £100,000 to redesign the building, and I think the stairs came in and the coffee lounge, you know, and you can now see some of the disadvantages of that design. But at the time, Community House would have been, whoa, you know, this is looking really good. So one of my jobs now is to help Community House have a new lease of physical life, to get money in order to modernise the building and its facilities.
I think you've just answered my question about what are the challenges that you're facing.
Well, I think improving the building is a major challenge. Getting kitchen and toilets up here so that these rooms become more usable. Having access to toilets that doesn't involve going through either the coffee lounge or the main hall. Really improving the appearance of the building, improving the insulation, generating more of our own electricity, becoming more eco-friendly. I think the garden could be used much more. John Hallam has a vision for opening a coffee bar, and I think making this building open as opposed to the front door closed, all of those things would be valuable. I think a more welcoming entry. I think getting more volunteers working for us. Crucially, I think we've got to recruit a really good manager to replace Yvonne, and that is absolutely critical. And I really think we need to work hard on that. We need to get more trustees. We have steadily eroded our trustee base, and it is very difficult. But somehow we have to find people who aren't just good at governance, but are good at supporting the development of this organisation.
So when you say you've eroded the trustees, how has that happened?
Well, people have come, they've stayed for a while, and then they've gone. But people like Ingrid has gone. There was a very nice man called Ahmed, I think, who was here. He stayed for a while and then moved on. We've had other people who were really good on the board, and they've steadily either died or left or moved away, you know. The core of people working hard is growing smaller, and that really is a problem. Because in my view, a voluntary organisation is its people, is its, it's not the building, it's the people. And I think we're struggling really in that regard. And I don't know how to change it.
That's a difficult one.
Very difficult.
Going back to the differences between Community House as it was and then Community House becoming a charitable trust.
Yeah.
You may have answered it already.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to clarify, what are the strengths of Community House now, do you think, in its form as the charitable trust share?
Well, I think we're more flexible and innovative about the uses we allow in the building. We have a lot more parties, a lot more Eid celebrations, that kind of thing, which there weren't many before. We still won't allow alcohol, and I think that's actually not a problem. I think that's a strength, to be honest. I think the charity is dynamic. I think it is willing to innovate. I think the work that's been done in getting the youth project, getting your project, the project you're working on, I think that's been tremendous work. So a willingness to think of new projects, I think, is a great strength, which wasn't there with the church. So in that sense, I think it is quite a bit stronger. But we need a new manager who's going to be as good, if not better, than Yvonne. I think that's critical. And we could do with 3 or 4 or 5 new board members who understand what it means to be involved in an organisation like this. Yeah. I also think we need some major work on improving the building. Yeah. Modernising it. You know, this room is okay in the 1980s, but now in 2018 it's kind of shabby. Not enough storage space. Rather shabby.
Space is being used, but it could be used better. That could
agreed.
Be a kitchen area or toilet.
Yeah, kitchen. You could put them along there or along here. You could put them in. There's a need for storage near to the coffee lounge. We could extend into the garden to make that. There's a whole list of physical changes. We're talking to an architect on Thursday, and we're bidding for money. Ingrid and I concocted a bid a few years ago, and there wasn't at that time money just for the development work before you get onto the actual building work and doing the work for the work of the architect, the quantity surveyor, and so on. There now is. There's grants of £50,000 for that, and that's what we're working to achieve, so that we can hire someone who will design improvements to the building.
That sounds really good. Yeah. We've got to wrap it up now.
You're welcome.
It's been really good.
Thank you.